You are listening to a podcast of the Geek.io Media Network. For all of our shows and more, visit geek-io.net. And to help support the network, head over to patreon.com/geek.io.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to Life of an Accounting Droid. I'm your host, as always, Neil, bringing you episode number 92. So for this week's episode, got quite a bit to go through. Got the usual theme, some news, game review, and then the usual entertainment stuff, and then I'm adding it's going to be a semi-regular feature as far as the What I Watch segment. It all depends on how much I get through. And then I'll have a film review, and then I'm also going to do a partial review of a movie trilogy I had a chance to watch, and then we'll round it out with the Star Wars profile. So to start it off with the theme, for this week's theme is going to be Hostile Takeover. This is basically the acquisition of one company by another by going directly into the to the company shareholders or finding the management of that company to approve the merger. This can be done by a tender offer or a proxy fight. And the key characteristic of a hostile takeover is that the target company does not want the merger to be approved for a variety of reasons, where they don't feel they should be taken over. It's not good for the industry, or they just don't want to be taken over by that specific company. The target company will could use a variety of methods to avoid that takeover by using techniques like a poison pill, golden parachute, and a variety of other methods in order to make it seem like that merger is, or that company is unfavorable. Even though, I mean, technically is, they might try to make it seem like that company is not worth taking over. So with that being said, I'll jump right into this week's tech news. So to start it off, Google Search and Maps are now going to show reviews in the device's native language automatically. So when you're traveling internationally, for example, and you want to read a review in that from that local country, your device will show you that review in your local language. So for example, for me, if I'm going to, let's say, Spain or Italy or Russia or wherever, and I read a review in that country's language, it'll show me the review in English, which is my device's default language. Google Photos for iOS got an update to now support sending pictures via AirPlay, so you can now more easily share your pictures that way. Google is adding more, or updating its search algorithms for more quality results and articles, so you'll be able to now provide more direct feedback via the quality rater guidelines, improving ranking signals, and providing direct feedback tools for inaccurate or offensive search results. So if something doesn't make sense, it doesn't fit into your criteria, you can provide more of that feedback. Spotify has now added Behind the Lyrics to its Android app, so you can now get more lyrics and more information about that track or tracks as you're listening to them. Google Maps for Android and iOS are getting a new feature called Saving Your Parking Spot. So now whenever you park somewhere, you can pinpoint your location, you'll see a blue circle around your location or your spot, and you'll be able to pin it to your map so you can easily get directions back to that spot. And then you'll be able to also add a note to that park, to your pin. So if you want to add your something like a parking spot or details, let's say on what time you left or additional information, you'll be able to do that as well. And finally, Google Search on iOS has added media icons to now show where media is being streamed or available to watch online. So for example, if you do a search for a TV show, you'll be able to see if it's on Netflix, Amazon Prime, Hulu, or places like that. So you know where to get it. If it's on a provider of choice, you can go directly there to watch it. So that's all there is for that. So with that, I'll jump into a game review, and it's actually going to be a relatively quick game review because it's similar to a game we've already seen but themed for the Star Wars universe, and it's a game that was recently released called Star Wars Puzzle Droids. So basically the purpose of the game is to help BB-8 recover his lost memory. So it's set in the Force Awakens time frame. You get help initially from C-3PO, and then as you complete levels and progress through the game and unlock some of BB-8's memories, you'll also get help from various other characters like Finn, or I don't know about Finn, but definitely they mentioned characters like Rey and Poe. You complete levels the gameplay itself is by completing levels by connecting the required number of same color circuits. So in order to unlock BB-8's memories, you have to collect completed circuits. So as you complete levels, you get a certain number of circuits, and when you get to the right amount, you can unlock the memories. The game is available, or before I get into that, the game is actually very reminiscent of games like Bejeweled and Candy Crush. So if you've played those games before, then you get basically have the idea of what Star Wars Puzzle Droids is all about. You're connecting basically three of the same color dots on the screen, and then you get points for that, and then you do need a, or each level has a certain number of moves you have to accomplish to move to the next level, and then you also have to accomplish the actual goal of that level. So for example, you have to connect 20 combinations of red or brown or blue or whatever, break a certain number of bricks in that level in order to complete it. So each level has its own mission as well, and you have that number of moves to complete it in. And then also by connecting the dots in a certain way, you can also get power up, so electric jolt, clearing rows and things like that. So it's all similar gameplay that you've seen in other games, but it's themed for the Star Wars universe. So as I mentioned, it's kind of like a Candy Crush or a Bejeweled, but set in the Star Wars universe. The game itself is available for free, but does have in-app purchases, so there is that to consider. It's available in the Amazon App Store, Apple App Store, as well as Google Play. So most major Android and iOS platforms will have the game available. So definitely worth checking out if you like the game, or if you're a Star Wars fan and want to play something like Bejeweled or Candy Crush, but in the Star Wars universe. And as always, I'll have a link to this particular review in the show notes so you can check it out and see if it's a game you like or kind of like animations. I am impressed by it overall. It does have other options like controlling the quality of the video and then turning sound effects on and off and things like that. So there's also those various sorts of options as well. So with that, I will jump into this week's entertainment segment. So to start with the news, the Avatar sequels now have their release date. So Avatar 2 is set to release on December 18th, 2018. Avatar 3 is going to release on December 17th, 2021. And Avatar 4 is going to release on December 20th, 2024. And that's as of right now. So those dates may change in the future. But as of right now, we have those time frames for 2018, 2021, and 2024. The Star Wars Episode 9 got a release date, so it's currently set to release on May 24th of 2019, so a couple of years, so we'll look out for that. Hard to say if they'll postpone it to December of 2019, which is my guess that will happen, just for whatever reason, but as of right now, Episode 9 was set for release on May 24th, 2019. And on a related note, the next Indiana Jones movie is set to release on July 10th, 2020. Steven Spielberg is set to direct, with Harrison Ford coming back for the film as well. So now for the What I Watch segment, which I'm also adding, making that slight addition to, in that I'm also adding what I'm reading or what I read. So as I read books, and if I have any updates for that week, I'll be adding that as well, just as something that, because it's technically media as well, and I'm usually reading the digital copy, so I figure I'd start providing that updates as well, and I'm trying to read a little bit more. So this week I had a chance to finish Pilot X. It's a novel by Tom Merritt. If you're not sure of the name or wonder why it's familiar, he's a podcaster who hosts Daily Tech News Show and Let's Talk About Star Wars, among other projects. But the novel itself is pretty good. I enjoyed it. It's basically about a time-traveling pilot who becomes an interstellar diplomat and is called on to basically bring the peace, or keep the peace, between various races and planets and cultures and civilizations. So it's definitely worth the read. I enjoyed it. I got through it actually a lot faster than I expected. So I do highly recommend reading the book. And it's time travel done well. Granted, I'm not, you know, big on the details of time travel, but when I was reading it, it's plausible, it was explained well, it was written well, and overall worth a good read. And I enjoyed my biggest thing was I enjoy the relationship that's built and that progresses between the time traveler and his ship, which it does have a learning AI, so definitely worth checking out. And then I started reading Star Wars Aftermath, Empire's End. This is the third book in the trilogy for the Star Wars Aftermath series. So I have read the first and second books. I'm enjoying it. We do see some of the setups and some of the early characters that we meet in Star Wars: The Force Awakens. So we do meet Snap Wexley. We do meet I think it was father or uncle or some family member for General Hux, and how he's in the military for the New Order. So definitely novels worth reading. So we'll see exactly what's going on. And so far, as far as Empire's End is concerned, I've just gotten to the part where Jakku plays an important role in the universe. So I can't wait to see what they do there. So as I read the book, I'll provide my updates and progress and all of that. As far as what I watched, the usual stuff. So Into the Badlands, Season 2, Episode 6, Leopard, Stalks, and Snow, where we have the reunion of Sunny and AK, or AJ, I keep forgetting the guy's name, but the guy with the powers. I also had a chance to watch Better Call Saul, Season 3, Episode 3, Sunk Cost. So we have the start of a relationship that we see in Breaking Bad, so definitely worth an episode or a watch there. I also had a chance to watch Gotham Season 3, Episode 15, How the Riddler Got His Name. So an important episode here because we finally have Edward Nygma bringing himself to call himself the Riddler. And finally, I had a chance to watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 4, Episode 19, All the Madame's Men. So we're getting the progress here as far as the agents trying to break, or S.H.I.E.L.D. agents trying to have their uprising and break out of the framework, and how the framework and Ada are working to prevent that from happening. So that's all there is for that. So before I get into the actual film review for the week, I actually wanted to do a quick review on a trilogy that I had a chance to watch. So I want to say the middle to beginning of last week, Google Play had a sale for 15% off movies in its library, so I figured I would watch or buy the Godfather trilogy. I've been meaning to buy at least the first or second one, but to be a completionist, I decided to buy the whole trilogy. I've never actually watched all of the movies in their completion and in order, so I know they were on TV, I had seen random scenes and bits and pieces, so I got the general idea behind the movies, but I never really watched them as a whole, never understood why people enjoyed the first two the most and never really liked the third one. So I figured I'd give them a watch them in their entirety, watch them in order and see where it goes. So overall, I actually did like the trilogy. I did see why people like the first two movies a lot more than the third, but watching them in order and one after another, I just felt like it, I don't want to say suffered, but it fell into that whole thing of not watching a trilogy in order made it seem like the third one was not as good as it seemed. But it did provide, by watching them together, like, or one after another, that we get a sense, especially in the second movie, that while The Godfather in part one was successful because of his family and because he actually made time for his family, his son didn't quite follow that the same way. And while he wanted to become legitimate, he didn't keep with his family. So I kind of felt like he could have become legitimate, or I don't know, things could have turned out differently if he had followed more of his father's plans and ways of doing things, I guess. But we kind of see how his downfall and how things fall apart because he deviated from how his father used to do things. So overall, I did enjoy all three movies. I found them done very well. I don't want to say the third one is the lesser of the three movies, because watching them together, I see that it does complete the story. It does put everything in perspective by when you see that comparison with the third one and the first one, and then using the second one as that bridge to show where it shows that rise in power between both Godfathers in their early years. And I actually finally got to hear the line for, I guess I'm going to paraphrase, but as soon as I get out, they pull me back in. So I didn't actually know that it was from The Godfather. I had heard it somewhere, but now I know that it's from The Godfather. So good portrayal of that line. I did like as far as making the offer that you can't refuse. As far as comparing it to other movies, I've made the comparison as far as Star Wars goes, that if Qui-Gon had taught Anakin, but Anakin still went to the dark side, was kind of how part one went. Part two was kind of along the lines of Anakin becoming or taking over Qui-Gon, where he's that gray Jedi, he lives between the good and the bad. And then in part three, Anakin is still seduced by the dark side, but leaves the order to become more like Ahsoka, where he realizes that everything that's causing him to be bad is actually in the existing framework of his life, so he leaves it to do good outside of it, even though it keeps bringing him back in. So along those lines, as far as this week's film review and trilogies to complete, I had a chance to watch Inferno. So I rented it last week just to give it a watch. It was a weekend, I wanted something to watch. So I rented Inferno. It's a third novel in the Dan Brown series about Robert Langdon. It released on October 28, 2016 as a runtime of 121 minutes. A summary of the movie is when Robert Langdon wakes up in an Italian hospital with amnesia, he teams up with Dr. Sienna Brooks, and together they must race across Europe against the clock to foil a deadly global plot. It got an IMDb rating of 62%, with a Rotten Tomatoes score of 19% by the critics and 37% by the audience. So not generally, or on one hand, by Rotten Tomatoes is not very well received. On IMDb, okay, but not great. So overall, I think in Angels and Demons, it leaves off where Langdon is still in Rome or in Italy, and he has fallen out of the helicopter from the blast, and he's in the hospital, and I forget if he escapes or not. My memory kind of falls apart here, but I want to say the movie will falls to the same trap of trilogies, but because we don't watch all three movies all together, that it doesn't seem as good as the first two. But the general idea, the thing that was hit or miss was that it was along the lines of the first movie, where there's hidden clues in the artwork for Dante's Inferno, so they had to figure out what's going on there, and they use that to help Langdon recover his memories. But by the end of the movie, it basically just comes down to becoming another, not necessarily spy, just an action thriller kind of movie, and there's nothing too special about it. So granted, they do use some of the artwork and things like that, and they bring in the references to Dante's Inferno as far as the symbology aspect of it goes, but there wasn't really much else like we saw in Angels and Demons and the Da Vinci Code, so I think that's kind of where it fell apart for most people. But watching them all together, I want to say it would probably fit as far as continuity goes. But it basically falls into a few traps where it's like, never trust the first two people you meet when you're coming out of an accident, just because he trusted Felicity Jones. Turns out she could not be trusted. And then I don't want to say Interpol agent, but that first agent guy couldn't be trusted either. But the friend he did know was a person to trust. And then Felicity Jones' character, she did a good job, but it was kind of okay. It felt like a renegade Jyn Erso. So instead of joining the rebellion, she actually joins the Empire and plays a double agent. And then what provider was Sienna using? So the thing that bugged me was when she was trying to set up the bombs in the labyrinth underground, she didn't have any cell signal. So either she should have tested that, known better, or known that there wouldn't have been a reception down there. So why not understand that or know that there's the possibility of that, so go above ground or use some sort of localized network. And then finally, it sure is easy to borrow the mask of Dante. So the thing that bothered me was if Dante's mask is supposed to be so important, why isn't there more security or better security or alarm system or some other system to prevent its stealing to begin with by Langdon, and then also his returning the mask at the end of the movie? So I don't know, that kind of bugged me that if it's so important, why is it so easy to steal? So overall, I'd probably give the movie, I kind of agree with IMDb, it's probably right around that 60 to 70% range. It's well made. It was an interesting movie. I'd probably have to go back and read the novel to see how much they kept to the novel and deviated from it. But Angels and Demons and Da Vinci Code, I felt, did a better job. Maybe it was even better in the novelizations, and Inferno didn't have as much in it, but I kind of felt that the first two movies were better in this particular case. So, but as I mentioned, it probably suffers from the whole idea of a trilogy. So watching them together might be better off. So if you have the time, watch them all. Or watch the first two and then watch the third one. But if you just want a quick action thriller with Tom Hanks and Felicity Jones, then it's worth a watch. So with that, I'll jump into this week's Star Wars profile. So for this week's profile, I wanted to cover the Black Sun Syndicate. So this is a mafia-style criminal organization. They have a headquarters on Mustafar with a base on Ord Mantell. They basically operate on their own as a criminal organization. That's all they were. They allied themselves with the Shadow Collective that was at some point led by Darth Maul, and because he basically threatened them to make his organization stronger, they ended up joining up with him as well. Their most notable feature is that they protected their base on Ord Mantell from an attack by Count Dooku and General Grievous, so they were good warriors, strong warriors and all of that, and they had the resources to protect themselves. So they were a known entity throughout the Star Wars universe. They did also they did rise during the Clone Wars, they did ally themselves with the Empire because they knew they wanted to protect themselves, and they knew the Empire would make the deal with themselves. At some point after Ahsoka left the Jedi Order, I think during the time of the Empire, the Black Sun Syndicate tried to recruit her into the organization and failed. And when she rejected their offer, they tried to kill her, but she was rescued by Bail Organa, so she was protected and was able to escape. And the next point I'm going to say is a bit of just an extrapolation on my part, but they're possibly connected to getting Han Solo to pay his bounty during the Empire Strikes Back, because we do have the line during episode 5 where he says to Leia something along the lines of the bounty hunter on Ord Mantell changed his mind. So because Empire Strikes Back is still canon, I will assume that Ord Mantell is still canon. It's hard to say if the Black Sun Syndicate is or isn't, but we know that bounty hunters are on Ord Mantell, so, and for some reason Han did go there after episode 4, so there is that bit of I don't want to say continuity, but connection as far as Han Solo and the Black Sun Syndicate possibly goes. So that's all there is for this particular episode. So if you have any questions, comments, concerns, want to get in touch with me, you can email me at headphonesneil@yahoo.com. You can find me on Twitter at patelN01. You can find past episodes, subscription links, social media links, and all of that good stuff on the website at patelN01.com. And of course, you can find the review for this episode and prior video reviews on the YouTube channel at youtube.com/patelN01. But that's all there is for this particular episode. Thanks for tuning in, and until next time.